swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Cassis does it again!
Again!
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, Frank Lee, it's over!
The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
Welcome back to Playtesting. It is episode 115. If you're listening on drop day, it is August 16th. I'm going to say it this time because I didn't feel like saying it last time, but now I feel like saying it. This is the official podcast of Walter Pennington being a big leaguer. He is a big league pitcher, and you cannot deny it, Sammy. He's a big league pitcher. Also known as the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Before we get going, hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening and rate us 5 stars. Subscribe multiple podcast platforms. If you're on YouTube, which you can check us out on the WEEI page, can see the Playtesting playlist there and hit the thumbs up on those videos. But if you are watching there, go to a podcast platform and subscribe. Also follow us on all of the socials at Playtesting on both Twitter and Instagram. Here again with Sammy and Pat. And one thing that I just remember that we didn't even, because the last episode we were dying out there, dying on the field for you. But one thing we didn't talk about was during the day Wednesday, there was that report. I think he literally talked to the media, or maybe Cora talked to the media, but the Tyler O'Neill stuff where they said when he had that leg infection that, oh yeah, probably a minimum thing. Like he was sick and then his leg got infected. Doesn't really know what happened, but he'll be fine. He'll probably return in the middle of the Rangers series. Instead, admitted into the hospital for what was it? 4 or 5 days. And just now is like trying to start baseball activities and like thinks he's going to play soon. I don't know. Like what do we even think about what's going on with Tyler O'Neill? This had me, I was doing circles in my head about this one.
Dude, does he have like staph infection? Cause like what it's a leg infection. What could it possibly, I don't know. I've never heard of this in baseball. This is like a wrestler.
Yeah.
Kind of like MMA injury thing that you see, not a, like with sweat being exchanged and fluids kind of injury. Like it's weird. I don't know. Staph. What's the other one?
I can think staph, maybe MRSA, maybe.
There's one other I saw someone throw out there, but either way, I can't recall anyone getting something like this on a baseball team. Like I said, this is like, you see this in high school and collegiate wrestling mostly.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. But in any event, like it saps you when you have an infection like that. Like, so he probably, in addition to have a gross, scabby leg,
ugh,
no offense, Tyler, he's probably like tired as hell and feeling not great. So not surprised that he's not on the field yet, but just a weird situation.
Do you think he didn't lift for like 5 days?
He didn't lift for 5 days and his body just rejected everything. And now he has an infection. He has to lift or else he can't survive.
That might be it. It might be he got sick and decided I'm going to take a couple days off from the gym. And then his body said, F that. Like, you're going to pay for your sins. Take this leg. Take that.
Take this leg. Well, what if Tyler O'Neill has like a, that'd be pretty cool if he played with a prosthetic leg. He just said, take it off. Take the
or
leg.
He could amputate the other leg. You see the or both legs, I guess, because it's not like he lost a leg. But if he lost both legs, he could be like that guy for the Savannah Bananas. You see that guy running around on his hands?
Yes, I did.
He could be like that.
So this is kind of a big take. I feel like that would make baseball quite difficult.
Yeah. The Tyler O'Neill experience is kind of interesting. Because
what contract will he get?
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say here is he has a 900 OPS this year,
mm-hmm,
but he's been on the IL 3 times, and I think he's played 60-something percent of their games to this point. And obviously, like the more time he misses, the lower that gets.
Yeah, and this is like who he's been his whole career. This isn't a standalone thing. This is a guy who's always put up pretty solid numbers, but the knock on him is the health. But these are like, is this better or worse than a normal baseball injury to get something like this? I would say it's not better. As bad as like if you're tweaking your hamstring all the time or something. It's kind of like a fluke, weird thing. But yeah, it's an interesting contract to think about because, like you said, great numbers despite not much time on the field. He's a perfect fit with the Red Sox when he's healthy. Like, they need a right-handed bat, ideally a guy who can switch between corner outfield spots, DH a little bit, has power, check, 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 check. But we talked a lot about reliability this season with the injuries we've seen this team go through. I think back to the first 2 months of the season, they had a ridiculous amount of injuries, probably the most amount of injuries I've ever seen a team take on in like a 2 month span, 2024 Red Sox. So it's hard to, it's one of the weirdest contract situations I can remember in like recent memory. There's so, you could go so many different ways with it.
Yeah. O'Neill's an interesting one because when he's been on the field, he's been, I would even say, at more than advertised. His stat line is so weird though, because he's hitting like a respectable 268, OPS plus of 143, which is very good, obviously.
Yeah.
22 home runs, 45 RBI.
That's insane. How do you
normally? Hold on. He has 22 home runs in 80 games played, which means he's on a 162 game pace of over 44 home runs.
Yeah. Yes. But the 45 RBI, like a number like that, you would see from like Mookie, like someone who has pop out of the leadoff spot.
Yeah.
Tyler O'Neill is consistently hitting between the 2 and 5 hole.
Yeah.
Like it my brain can't wrap around that.
But that's why I don't give a shit about RBIs. Cause like the dude is producing and he's been great. And it's when he's on the field, at least
80 games, he's 2.3 WAR. So he's on track to be roughly a 5 WAR player, which would put him top 50 ish, which I mean, you gave up nothing for him. Like he's been nothing but great for what you expected, what he's done. But yeah, I don't know how to gauge what this offseason looks like for Tyler O'Neill because he hasn't been necessarily healthy. He's been very good.
Do you guys see the Cardinals DFA'd Nick Robertson?
Yep.
Yeah.
So like, yep. And the other guy they got was like a literal throw-in. Like the Cardinals essentially got absolutely nothing for Tyler O'Neill. I mean, great sequence by Breslow there. I mean, we've been saying that, but do you want to hear the games played? Because we could get into what we think the offseason will look like, but I'll read you off his games played by year. 2018, 61 games. 2019, 60 games. 2020, 50 games, but that was in the 60-game season, so fairly healthy there. 2021, 138 games. 2022, 96 games. 2023, 72 games. And to this point in 2024, he's played 80. I'm going to try to find how many games in we are.
Wow, so he's only played 100 games once.
119 games in. So he's missed 39 games.
Oof. Yeah, with how many left? 49 games left? 39?
43.
I believe it. I'm not doing the math.
I'm a science guy, not a math guy. So he's probably going to play around, I would say, a safe number is 110. No, less, actually. Ooh. Probably like 100, 105.
Well, that's the thing. We don't know. With this weird staff MRSA blood type, whatever it is.
He just got bit by a grasshopper.
By a vampire.
I don't know why I said grasshopper. He definitely got bit by something way worse.
Yeah. Tyler O'Neill. Grasshopper. IL. Cooties.
Oh, God.
If there's anyone who looks less likely like he has cooties, it's Tyler O'Neill.
Yeah. I feel like Tyler O'Neill could flex really hard and it would cure any illness he has.
I feel like if he flexed too hard, his skin would split open.
Oh,
ew.
God, what a thought. Yeah, anyway, he's a guy that the fit. So what do you think fit for 2025? If
Need
you're
him.
Craig Breslow, is it a fit? Because let me lay it out. Your outfield, Rafaela in center, Duran in left, Abreu in right. DH currently is Yoshida. Currently,
emphasis again, say it again.
Currently would be Yoshida. So I don't think O'Neill comes back unless the Red Sox find a way to offload Masataka Yoshida. And then we can have all the Red Sox fans for some reason who will say he didn't get a fair chance, which is insane. But yeah, that's what we should be looking for, Red Sox fans, I think, because who else are you going to get for DH when you're also trying to add a starting pitcher and conceivably will be on yet another, what, self-imposed budget from the lovely ownership group.
Well, this is actually, makes sense. It's kind of the beautiful thing. If you want to take like a silver lining of O'Neill's injuries, as good as he's been, I would understand if teams had pause about giving him a long-term deal and giving up a draft pick for a guy who's been injured as often as he has. So if you offered O'Neill the qualifying, like, because in reality, like, they really only do, or hopefully only will need him for one more season, and then hopefully you can find a longer-term fix with a right-handed bat. But I think the beauty of the way Yoshida's playing is he is offloadable at this point. Obviously, the Sox will still have to eat money. Yoshida could hit like 315, and he's still not worth the money he's making just because it's all he's doing. But he's played well enough to be offloadable now, especially if there's a team out there that thinks he can play the outfield. I think it's as good as he's been, it kind of is a must roster building wise to offload him. And I think with O'Neill, you offer him the qualifying offer, and if he doesn't take it, then you have a sitting 1 year offer on the table to him. But if he gets a better offer, you let him go and you figure it out elsewhere. Like, you've seen them get right-handed bats like the Adam Duvalls and the Hunter Renfros. Like, you've seen them fall into those before. You're going to have to do it again. But I think if you offer the O'Neill the qualifying offer, there's a good chance that he either comes back on that or something else pretty reasonable.
So yeah. on the Yoshida front, I think he's going to be pretty hard to offload. Just looking at his numbers right now, .770 OPS, which is like good, not amazing.
Better than league average.
Yeah, he's got 7 home runs, nothing crazy. Doesn't have any speed. His speed, he's 18th percentile sprint speed. So he's unbelievably slow. He's big time negative in the field to the point where the Red Sox have barely let him play in the field at all. Rarely ever strikes out. So that's the plus. But that's pretty much it. Is he's putting the ball in play. He's hitting for a decent average, which is like, he's like a player who would have been considered really good in 2005.
Here's the thing about it, Sammy, though. His OPS since July 1st, 33 games. And I just threw July 1st and I was trying to figure out when he returned, but I wanted to pull it quickly. 886. So, yes, the stats for the year. I'm not saying you can offload like all the salary, but if you made it so that Yoshida, he has 3 years left. If that became a 3-year, $27 million deal, like, yeah, you could offload him.
Yeah, yeah. I just think it's going to be like, you either have to do what you just said, eat a lot of money, not a lot, but eat a solid amount of money, or you attach a prospect if you don't want to pay the money, or a player, even a major league player. So
that's okay.
That might have to be priority number one, just because once you get that done, it makes building the roster much easier. That and getting a starting pitcher should be the two things they do first. But yeah, man. And also he's 31 years old too. So it's not like he's going to speed up at all. It's just the profile is way too limited. We've gone over this a million times on the show. It's way too limited. I picked him as my breakout guy of the year. I wanted this guy to be good. I thought it was an interesting signing at the time. I didn't think the Red Sox overpaid based on the results we were seeing early on in 2023, but it's not enough for a DH only. Think about David Ortiz. Like that, that's a DH. Power, clutch, middle of the order, walks a lot, always on base. Yoshida just puts the ball in play.
Yeah. And I think on the other side of that, of course, there's always a circumstance where you can live with a Yoshida type at DH. Like if you had, like, let's say, and I'm not saying I want to sign him whatsoever. I'm saying hypothetically, you had like Anthony Santander playing right field. He's hitting 36 bombs. That's kind of your DH production out there. You can live with kind of any contact hitter in the DH spot. The Sox don't really have anyone outside of Raffy in a healthy Casas who can really consistently provide those power numbers. So that DH spot in this lineup is incredibly valuable. And having a guy like Yoshida on there, it's not optimizing the lineup. It's not optimizing what the Red Sox lineup could be offensively. And in terms of bringing Tyler O'Neill back, the qualifying offer, it's 1 year, but it's a lot of money. I think it's more than he would get AAV on the market. But I think if you can offload Yoshida and you can bring back Tyler O'Neill on a non-qualifying offer deal, you do it.
But one thing worth noting, his agent is Scott Boras.
O'Neill's?
Yep.
All right. Well, that's interesting. Okay. Let me ask you guys another question then, because I think we all, can we all agree that if you could have Tyler O'Neill back, and we're not going to think money here, if you have Tyler O'Neill back to DH next year with the outfield that Sammy said before, Duran, Rafaela, Abreu, if you could have O'Neill to DH, that is a better fit in your guys' opinion than Yoshida, right?
Yeah, not even close.
Not a debate.
Yeah, it's not just the bat, though. He could also spell guys, corner outfield spot. He has a gold glove, so he's not a bad defender.
Not a bad defender. Definitely not as good this year as he's been. And maybe DHing could help save his body. But
I think so. Ideally, you do DH him most of the time just to keep him on the field more, or not on the field, in the batter's box more, I should say. Yeah. And, you know, you just have that option. Whereas with Yoshida, you technically have that option, but he was brutal out there in 2023, 11th percentile. I remember that off the top of my head because I was blown away by how bad he was in left field. So, I think it's no-brainer, Tyler O'Neill. And then we didn't even mention, he's right-handed. So
yeah, exactly.
That's probably the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Right-handed with power. But okay, here's my question for you, though. Let's take the qualifying offer out of the equation here. If he isn't qualified, if they don't give him that qualifying offer, what contract do you think he could get on a legitimately open market?
I think O'Neill, based on recent contracts we've seen, I think he'll get probably like somewhere in the high teens, but no more than 2 years for a deal. Just the injury history is James Paxton-esque when it comes to Tyler O'Neill. Like, it's a lot. You're almost guaranteed to see him miss significant time. And I'm not talking like 20 games. I'm talking 40, 50 games a year. That's a lot that he's going to be missing. Not getting any younger.
Give me a number. 2 years, high teens. So what are you saying? Like 2 years, 38?
Two years, 35.
2 years, 35.
16 17.5.
I think he gets the Soler contract. I think he gets like 3 for 42.
Okay, so like a similar rate, but 3 years?
14 AAV, yeah.
Okay. How old is he? That's going to determine my answer.
I think it's more
so next
likely
year he's going to be 30.
Yep.
I think it's more likely he gets more money shorter term. It's just his risk is massive. And what kind of team would want him? You'd have to already be a contender that, like Atlanta, maybe. The Braves might want him. Or, I mean, hate to say this, like Yankees could use him. There's a lot of contenders I think would relish Tyler O'Neill. It's such a good fit in Boston, though. I think they should really make that a priority. Offload Yoshida, bring back O'Neill.
You know, I'm dabbling between two numbers, but it's at minimum what Pat said to me. I think it's either 3 years, 45, or maybe even he gets a fourth year and it's up to 60. And that's if he's not qualified. I just because of the, you did you see at the trade deadline this year, you remember the little amount of bats traded? A lot of that is because there's not a ton of bats on the free agent market. You get the high end guys, like you got the Soto, you got the Alonso, you got the Bregman, Teoscar. He's going to be a free agent again. That could knock it down because like
just
someone
fathom the years. Like, the prices, I think we're right in the ballpark with the prices. I just can't imagine a team giving him 4 years. Or this guy's like,
it won't happen if he's qualified. Because the thing is, this is all a moot point because I think it's a no-brainer to qualify him on a one-year deal and maybe pay him a little bit more than you would get AAV-wise on the market. But like, look what Teoscar got this year for basically a one-year deal. And I know a lot of it was delayed or it was a deferred money, but he was in the 20s and he was coming off a terrible year. So Tyler O'Neill coming off a 900 OPS season, obviously he's got to finish off the year. And I know he was hurt, but 900 OPS is a 900 OPS. He's going to approach 30 homers despite missing tons of time.
Teoscar was fine last year. Teoscar had a 108 OPS. He was playing in Seattle, keep in mind. He still had 26 home runs last year. Still a good player. And also with Teoscar, you get 160 games, 130 games, 143 games, 50 on the short season, 125, 134. He's always
I'm saying he's coming off, like Teoscar Hernandez was coming off the year of the worst version of himself, and he was going on the downtrend. Whereas O'Neill, performance-wise, this is probably, what, the second best year he's ever had?
Yeah.
Second best, rate-wise.
So, I could see, but again, so much of it depends on if he's qualified. A lot of it depends on the Teoscar thing. like he's going to be a free agent. I'd have to look at the other outfielders. But if he's qualified,
I think the biggest thing, more so than performance, the health. I think teams, that's going to be the biggest thing, bigger than health, bigger than the age, bigger than everything, bigger than Teo being on the market possibly. I think that is the number one factor with this guy. It's the book on him. That's the number one knock, always has been. So I think he might get the same number as Teo, maybe a little bit more, because his term is almost certainly going to be in the, I can't imagine more than 3 years. And three is already, I feel like, a stretch in my head.
Yeah. I think that there's some teams that are going to be desperate to get some power in the lineup. Like one team, and oddly enough, it was where Soler just was, like the Giants. That's a team I can see giving Tyler O'Neill his 3 for 45, because that lineup needs pop. Like there's going to be teams out there who maybe want to spend money, but aren't going to be in on the Alonzos, the Sotos, like those kinds of players. There's definitely going to be guys out there or teams out there that will pay someone like a Tyler O'Neill, but it's so hard to project because this is his second like really good season in his, whatever it is, 6 years in the league. Health's always an issue. Speed's on the decline. Like it's hard to project.
And the other thing we have to consider is like you got like the markets change every offseason. Like there was the offseason going into the lockout and coming out of the lockout where teams spent money like crazy. And then there was last offseason where teams didn't want to spend at all. So like we're comparing this to last offseason, but who knows? Maybe teams come out this offseason and it's a spending offseason. Like who the hell knows? I'll ask you guys a final two questions. Give me very quick answers here. Would you qualify? You give Tyler O'Neill the qualifying offer, yes or no, quickly. Go, Sammy.
Do we have the number?
I think it's like $21 million 1 year. And if he declines it, you get a draft pick. If he accepts it, you get Tyler O'Neill for 1 year, $21
million. Yeah, I would do it just because I don't think they're going to have as hard of a self-imposed budget this offseason. I think that'll loosen up a little bit. So therefore, yes, I'll do it. But caveat, if they do have another stupid hard cap that they create, then unfortunately, no, you have to go internal or figure something else out. Stupid.
Pat?
No.
No.
I wouldn't. I wouldn't. I think $21 million is, I think you can get a, and I love Tyler O'Neill. I think you can get a better quality player for a 1 year, $20 million. And I think that money is better spent other places as of now.
Wow. For me, I think the answer is like the easiest yes ever. Like I will qualify him day one and hope he accepts, and I believe he'll decline and I'll take the pick.
What if they set a hard budget again? Because if the Red Sox set a hard budget, you give O'Neill 21, whatever, in that ballpark, then you're either going to have to make a trade for a cost controllable ace and we're going to be doing this whole fairy tale again, or you have to just go with the bargain bin again for the fifth year in a row. That'd be fun.
Well, let's play it out. If they have a self-imposed budget again, you're losing Chris Sale's money. You're losing, am I Kenley? Forgetting another dead salary? Kenley and Martin, yes. Pivetta coming off the books. He's not making that much, but he is making
Price
money.
Price is gone, right? David Price, that's gone.
Yeah, he's gone, but I swear there was another dead salary, not Chris Sale. I swear we talked about another dead salary. I don't know. Maybe there's not. But yeah, I think there's other avenues, easier avenues to improve the roster. Like you can trade for cost-controlled pitching. You can have another offseason of developing pitchers within to hopefully fortify the bullpen. You've got Liam Hendricks already in-house. Michael Fulmer is going to come back. Like you don't need to re-sign all four of these relievers that are leaving or at least are expiring. The right-handed bat, like, I don't love the idea of signing Pete Alonso or Alex Bregman. And shorter term,
you can't do Alonso. No. That's so expensive, and he'd just be strictly DH once in a while, first base.
You could sign Teo, but the reason I love the O'Neill idea so much is A, he could DH, and I hope that saves his body. I'm not going to say I think it will because I'm not really sure about that. But I like the idea of doing 1 year because, the right-handed bat of my dreams is a free agent the next year. So you get Tyler O'Neill for 1 year. Then comes Vlad Jr. walking through that door. Takes that DH spot.
Nah.
1 year. Bro, do not give me that.
Vlad, that's so much. This could cost so. Dude, the Red
He's
Sox.
Worth it.
Red Sox churn out hitters like crazy. Spend that money.
Not right-handers. On
Christian Campbell, and Barry Bonds. They're calling him Barry Bonds, Gordo.
They are calling him Barry Bonds. But yeah, I would definitely QO Tyler O'Neill. And honestly, I think there is a greater likelihood than not that he declines it. And that's totally fine with me too. He can have a pick. I think there's like, even if you don't want Tyler O'Neill for $21 million, I think the chance that he declines it is so worth the risk that like, okay, if he accepts it, like, okay, fine. You're paying Tyler O'Neill $5 million more than you would have wanted to, but it was worth the risk to get the pick.
Yeah.
And then you have a right-handed hitter too. So
also if we think Pivetta is probably not coming back, Paxton almost definitely not coming back. So if O'Neill's gone, you have no Canadians on your team and every good team has at least one Canadian dude. So,
all right. One final question before enough said, and it's a two-parter. If offered the qualifying offer, would Tyler O'Neill accept it? And if offered the qualifying offer, would Nick Pivetta accept it? Quick, go.
Yeah, Pivetta would accept it. I think he thought he'd have a better season than this on his walk year.
And Tyler?
Would he accept it? Yeah, I think he would, because he probably thinks that if he takes it, he can stay healthy for a full season, put up the same numbers at Fenway, and then cash in. So I think they'd both take it, actually.
Pat?
I think O'Neill would take it. I think Pivetta is enough of an analytics darling that he would reject it and a team would give him like okay money.
That's a good point. Wow. That's a good point, actually.
This is a great discussion.
I might switch sides. I might switch sides with Pivetta. That's so hard, man. Would he reject it? Because you don't know what's going through his head. Because he could, what I said, he could be like, oh, no, I'm better than this. I want another chance to cash in. Or there could be a team that likes hit the profile and his pitch shape or some shit like that.
I think because the qualifying offer is going to be what we said, like 21.
I think 21. But
I mean, what the fuck did Frankie Montas just get from Cincinnati? 17.
That's a good point, Pat.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. I mean, oof.
So I mean,
Montas was about to say like a 5 ERA season though. He was not good.
But like Pivetta getting like 3 years, 54. That's not crazy at all.
But at the same time, like Jordan Montgomery couldn't get anything.
Yeah, but so, that was, I think that's certainly an example of an outlier. That whole group of Boris guys was very weird.
All right. Oof, you're making me reconsider my Pivetta stance, but I still think he would accept it. I think he would accept it and try to have a better season. Sort of the argument that one of you guys just gave for O'Neill, try to have a better season. Because I think it would be hard for him to get a long-term deal with the pick attached. But, oh, man, it's a lot closer than I thought. I hope they don't have as bad of a budget next year, because if they could offer both of those guys QOs and get at least one pick, but obviously if they both accept it, then, like, if they have a budget, that's pretty tough. But I think if offered, I would say Pivetta would take it. And O'Neill, I was a little bit 50-50 on. But, Pat, as soon as you told me you had Boris, I'm on the train of O'Neill would decline it. I think there is risk for Tyler O'Neill coming back to the Red Sox in a DH role, which is the role we all kind of agree here that he would be serving, is the DH role there. If he comes back, DH is now he is a DH in people's mind. And if he gets hurt as a DH and he's now entering his age 31 season, that's going to be tough. So it's going to be tough regardless. He may just try to cash in off a really good season now.
I'm looking at like what some like mid-tier starters got last winter. Every single one got multiple years for the most part.
And but none of those guys had a pick attached.
I understand that. But I'm saying from like the accept reject standpoint, like you Jordan Hicks, 4 years, $44 million. You have Michael
Seth Lugo's
Waka.
A good comp. Because Seth Lugo's another analytics darling.
Yeah, Lugo got $3 for $45 million.
How much do teams care about these supplemental draft picks? Because
no, I think they care.
Some teams like, care a ton. Some teams not as
Sean,
much. Like I don't.
Sean Manaea was coming off a horrible year. 2 years, 28. Nick Martinez was a. I guess you could call him starter. 2 years, 26.
I mean, wow. No, you're making a good point. I mean, at this point, I mean, remember 2 years ago? 2 years ago after 2022, I was fully on board the don't offer Nate the qualifying offer train. And then I saw his projected contracts and I said, okay, offer it. So maybe that's going to happen here with Pivetta too.
You also have to think about how these guys view the money, because what was Martinez's contract, Pat? It was
Nick Martinez.
Yeah.
Nick Martinez was 2 for 26.
So 2 for 26, that's nothing in the world of baseball, but in real life, that's a ton of money. So if Pivetta can get like 3 years at $12 million, maybe he thinks, okay, 3 years, that's life stability. That's a lot of money. In the context of Major League Baseball, it's not that much. But in the real world, that's crazy cash. Why not do it? So there's so many factors. There's really no accurate way to predict this.
And even like, I'm just looking at guys who didn't have great years. Like Marcus Stroman, 2 years, 37.
Well, he sucks. He's a griff.
Okay, but we're dancing around. Like if Nick Pivetta doesn't have a qualifying offer attached to him, I think he tops a lot of those deals. Like he's going to top Manai, he's going to top Martinez, he's going to get around that Stroman deal, if not even better. But if he has that pick attached, those are the guys that got screwed. Like Jordan Montgomery, well, actually he didn't have a pick attached, but the other, like Snell did, and it screwed him.
Which is crazy. See, that's nuts to me. He just won the Cy Young Award. What do you think this pick is going to be? Anyway, that's a whole different convo. You guys want to move on? Enough said. We've been harping on the qualifying offer.
We got to be super quick with Enough Said. Who wants to go first?
I can go first. I got
Pat, you got it.
So I came across this very interesting tweet earlier. It was about college football, Arkansas college football quarterback, Malachi Singleton to wide receiver Monty Harrison. Monty Harrison, a freshman who turns 29 on Saturday. And I knew the name Monty Harrison. And I'm like, 29-year-old freshman. I was like, that's insane. It's because he played baseball for 10 years. He was one of the key pieces in the Christian Yelich to the Brewers trade.
What?
So that just goes to show how much the Marlins got for future MVP winner Christian Yelich. One of them is now a 30-year-old college freshman playing wide receiver at Arkansas.
Dude, I thought you misspoke when you said that. I was like, whoa, hey, Pat, you fucked up.
Nope.
That's so funny. Oh, my God.
That is.
How does that happen? Yelich might win the MVP again. There probably is. Not because Shohei's going to win.
Joe's got it.
No, Yelich is like out for the year.
29-year-old.
Bro, that's get crazy. A fucking job. Stop racking up CTE for no reason, idiot. But yeah, that's crazy. Wow. All right, I'll go. I can't stand the it's over people. Can't stand that. Every loss in August or later, season's over. Season's over. Sorry, guys. Pack it up. Season's over. They're 3 games back. Can't come back from 3 with 45 games left. Yeah, I hate that crowd. I think that's the lamest thing ever. I think what it is people hedging, mentally hedging. So they're thinking, okay, I'm either going to be happily wrong and the Red Sox will make the playoffs or have a good season or whatever, win X amount of games, great, I'll be wrong and I won't care. Or they'll suck and I'll feel good because I was right about my negative prediction. Just think it's the lamest thing ever. Stop saying it's over to protect your feelings. It's not over. We'll call it over when it's actually over, like adults. Go Sox.
That's a friendly way of saying they're reverse jinxing. It's a reverse jinx attempt.
Yeah, you're just mentally hedging because you're fragile and you don't want to be like, oh, my team lost. Dude, I'm going to be a mess inevitably when the Red Sox don't win the World Series this year. I am every year. I've just accepted it. You know, I don't have to
put up this
fake mental defense thing to keep it from happening. I can't stop it. So go Sox.
Yeah. I mean, we were on the last pod. You can click on that if you want a series recap of the Rangers series. But we were pretty down after that loss. But none of us were like, the season's over. It was just like, holy shit, like that was an awful loss and the Pen is in a bad spot. They can win the games, but
I mean, there's 43 games left as we're recording and they're 2 games back. It is certainly not over.
My Enough Said, happy farewell to Matthew Judon. Pats traded him to the Atlanta Falcons for a third round pick. Getting a third round pick for him, pretty good value, but man, they paid everybody. It kind of sucks that they didn't pay the best player. I understand he's a little bit older than everyone else, but that's the best player. That's one of the leaders on your team. It sucks to see him go, fan favorite. Their cap space, according to the Pats cap, is just over $50 million, which normally would excite me because in the NFL it rolls over, but I think it's kind of under discussed. Like the Red Sox lack of spending is very discussed, but the Patriots lack of spending, I feel like, has kind of gotten swept under the rug for years. So them having all that cap space does not really excite me all that much. But yeah, shout out Matthew Judon. Didn't win anything with the Patriots, but was a bright spot in an otherwise tough run of Patriots football. Pat, are you about to disagree with me that they don't spend?
No. I was going to say, I think the difference is, well, at least this year, it's not for lack of trying. Like, they offered Ayuk the bag. They offered Calvin Ridley a very respectable contract. They're just not getting accepted. The Sox don't even offer. I think that's the difference between the two. But
yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Although the Pats, I feel like in years past, didn't even really offer much. But you're right. They definitely did try to go for a receiver. If T. Higgins hits free agency next year, I'm sure that they'll be there too. But yeah. One last thing before we sign off here. Joe, what do you
got? Yeah, I got a good enough said because we ended the episode saying please donate to the Jimmy Fund, because the Jimmy Fund NESN and EEI Telethon was this week, and boy, did they ever donate. Roughly over $3.7 million raised over these last 2 days with WEEI and NESN. So thank all of you. I know there are plenty of people out there who are listening and donating. And we got to give a shout out to two of our favorites, Brock Holt, Tom Caron, the new co-chairs of the Jimmy Fund. I think two people who are absolutely perfect for the job. So thank you to all of you who donate, and congrats to Brock and TC.
Yeah, that was super cool hearing the news about Brock and TC and hearing them talk about it on the broadcast in the third game of the Rangers series. But yeah, they always, I feel like, top 3 mil and getting it over 3.7. I mean, that's just insane for just a couple of days. They do such good work for the Jimmy Fund, and it's always moving to hear the stories.
Did you guys catch that kid? I think it was like the fifth or sixth inning. That kid came on, and he was just like the biggest natural on the mic ever.
Yeah, that kid was a stud.
That was my favorite kid from this whole weekend.
That kid's gonna kill it. He's gonna kill it when he's in high school. He's like,
yeah,
he's already really good at talking.
He's so savvy. He said he even said himself, like, people have told me my ego is pretty big.
Yeah, yeah. Yo, he was cool. He was cool. I was thinking like he's probably smart too. I feel like if you have that kind of social acumen at that age, you're probably a smart guy. So
I wish
good for him. Yeah, Jimmy Fund, awesome as always. It's bittersweet, you know, like hearing all the stories, kind of sad to hear, but also seeing the activism and everything and the money. It's the bright side of it. So great job by everyone involved, as always.
As always. And they'll do another great job next year. The telethon has been going on definitely since, I mean, I don't know what number this is, but I can't remember a time without it. So this is the 22nd year, says Joe Braverman. So, oof. I mean, basically since I started watching Red Sox games, if not a little bit before or after, I don't know. I can't do math. Whatever. We're going to wind this thing down. It is late. We appreciate you guys tuning in to episode 115 of Play Tessie. Before you sign off, we're signing off before you do. Hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. 5 stars. Hit the 5-star button. Hit the subscribe button. If you're watching on YouTube, we appreciate it if you hit the thumbs up. But also go to a podcast platform and subscribe, because it helps us out a ton when you guys subscribe. You can also catch us on the socials at Play Tessie on both Twitter and Instagram. We will be back in your ears on Monday morning following the conclusion of the Red Sox Orioles 4-game set. Till then, for Sammy, for Pat, for Joe producing, it is Gordo here for Play Tessie episode 115. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.